They were saved through this ministry. My whole family was saved through this ministry. Some have been impacted in serving the Lord in ministry. But as a child, I came here. I remember coming and hearing the Word of God. I remember every night having Bible stories at a young age, about 11 years old, 10 or 11. I can't remember exactly when I started coming to the Hubbard family. And Bible stories were shared every evening by Mother Vicki. And through the messages here at the church, I knew something was different. I knew something was different in their lives. I've never been in a situation where we woke up Sunday morning and went to church, or even go Sunday night or Wednesday night. So that was all new to me. And but seeing the different lives and what God had done in their lives, I knew I was missing something at a young age. Probably about 10 or 11 years of age, I accepted the Lord. And through that, I was grown up in this church since then. And while I was here, I learned what ministry is all about. I came to school here up to my sophomore year in high school. And then I went on to Bible college. And I was drawn back here to work in the youth ministry at a very young age, about 23, 24 years of age. The church called me back to be the youth pastor. And I think I served about 6 years here. But in the meantime, I had another special interest, was Julie Trepanier. And of course, we're married now. We have 7 kids. And Juliana is here, my 11-year-old. Some of the older ones didn't want to travel 3 hours down and 3 hours back last night, so they couldn't join us. But I've got a lot of fond memories of fellowship. Now I'm in Palermo, Maine. It's a small little community, but God is doing a great work in our church. We're kind of bedroom community to the city of Augusta, the state capital. A lot of our folks work at the state. We have a lot of people that may be in a little bit of farming industry, but not much farming industry. Business realm, all different spectrums like we have here at Fellowship. Church runs about 160, 170. I'm the associate pastor working with church ministries, youth ministries. For some reason, God has not called me out of working with youth. It's always been my passion, my love, and it's a great opportunity to serve there. What I want to do today is bring up the title, The Impact of Fellowship Bible Church, and what it had in my life. And we'll be looking at Ephesians in a few seconds, but I didn't want to just deliver a message. I really want to deliver what fellowship did. And not just in my life, in other people's lives that have been here before. There are many that are in the ministry because of the impact fellowship had. And I'm going to share a little bit of that. Also, the impact that fellowship has on your own life. It has made an impact. It's made an impact for the souls of Christ. But let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father, we do pray as we come before you, as we reflect a little bit what fellowship was and the impact it's had on each one of our lives. Of course, the biggest impact is your son Jesus, what he's done. Salvation for each one of us. We pray as we look at these areas that you help us to remember what we are, who we are, and what we're doing in Christ's name. Amen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down, and I did an acrostic, and I had a little fun with this. I'm using the name fellowship, and I did an acrostic representing different things I felt fellowship was while I was here, what it is now, and what it is I assume down the future. And I'm going to start off with the letter F, and I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to jump around in some passages of scripture. Some passages I will not have any scripture for the points because it's dwelling back. It's a reflection how it impacted me. And look at Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. I know last week I was here and Pastor Dan was in this passage of scripture, and I won't spend the whole time talking about aliens or sojourners. It says here, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." How important that is. "In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord." In verse 22, I want to bring out a couple of things. "In whom you also are being built together." And that's what we are. We are built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You know, I look at fellowship, and the F I came up was family. friendship. You know, family and friendship. You know, there's nothing better than a church family. It doesn't matter where you're going to church, but when you have a church family where you're able to actually support each other. I remember when I was here at Fellowship, I had so much support from many people working with the youth ministry. Family sticks together in thick and thin when things go rough. And that's what a church family does. Church family has fun together. And this is where I'm going to have a little bit of fun because this first point, because these are memories that I have that have impacted me, just things that have brought some special moments for me. Right when I was leaving back in 2011, I was heading to Iowa, and we were only there for 2 years. For some reason, the staff, memories of the staff, kind of like to have pranks and have fun. And Mike Sapienza was on staff at that time, and I think he was the assistant school administrator. Scott was here. And Mike knew I'd been planning a big event called Snow Camp. And a lot of you that might have heard, we used to have snow camps, and I think some still do those once in a while. But I had planned this event, and things were going smoothly. I was excited. And Mike knew some of my flaws in ministry. I would worry a little bit about the planning of events. And secondly, and probably the most important thing, is I'm gullible. So we were going to Lake Ossabee Conference Center, and we were actually going to King Pine Ski Area as part of our event. Well, Mike had schemed something up, and I don't remember if Scott remembers this or not. I know you remember this, about pulling this prank about seismic activity happening at King Pine Ski Area. And so Mike draws me in his office. Mike was a computer whiz. He did a lot of work for the church and the school. And he had this website, excite.com. I'm not sure if it still exists. I think it is. But he had something set up where it was like a news report. And you clicked on to King Pine. And the title was Seismic Activity. I'm thinking, what's going on? So Mike's kind of getting me riled up. He's getting me going. So I click on it. And King Pine has a little statement up top. Don't worry, we do have some seismic activity going on. Volcanoes aren't erupting often, but they are erupting here and there. Like, what? So call this number. Well, you got to realize back then, this is 2001. Cell phones weren't in existence. Well, they had set something up. I think it was Scott. I can't remember. He was in the other office beside me. I don't think, Tony, do you remember this going on or not? Were you part of this? You were a little bit part of this. I tell you right now, Pastor Stringer was not involved in it. I just know that. I do know that. So, I call King Pine. I get on the phone. It says, how are we doing there? Oh, we're doing great. I says, what about this seismic activity? Oh, nothing to worry. Every 10 or 15 minutes, we get a little volcanic activity. Sometimes a little of the volcanic acid and stuff comes out, but nothing major. Only parts of the mountain are affected by it. There's some parts that have dirt and stuff from the lava coming. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. So Mike and Scott know real well, what is my first reaction? I'm going to my father-in-law. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Well, he was all involved in this scheme. And he says, well, my son's going. You're not taking him. And you got to figure how to get refunds back. I'm thinking, really? How am I going to get refunds? Well, all this had been planned. You know, it was fun. You know, I remember some fun memories working with the staff. Some memories is Christmas dinners we had. I wish we had them at Palermo. We never have them. Staff dinners, you know, coming together. We worked together for one purpose, and that was building the body of Christ, serving the Lord. A lot of my ministry involved the youth group here. You know, memories of snow camp, parent appreciation banquets. Those were lasting impressions on me. Little things that you mentioned, Sherlock Holmes events. We did video scavenger hunts. A ministry that sometimes it's good to reflect back, you don't remember, was Fellowship Bible Day Camp. What a ministry that was for about 5 or 6 years, reaching out into the community. Friday night fellowship youth groups, the impact that had of reaching souls for Christ, young students. And you don't realize the impact until you start hearing some of these things. Boston Rescue Mission, every Saturday night we bring students to the Boston Rescue Mission. Church functions, Monadnock Family Camp, Labor Day clam boils, corn roast. You know, all these events revolve around people, family. And that's what they're about. That's what the church is about. It's about family. Us coming together for one cause, and that is spreading the gospel through Jesus Christ. And so that's a lasting impression I have. The next letter is E. And this really didn't take very long for me to come up with. Turn to Acts chapter 20. You know, fellowship has been very extremely blessed from the heritage of immediately with the preaching of the gospel. And my E stands for expository preaching. If you look at Acts 20, 26 through 27, I'm the wrong passage of scripture. I was at 26. Dave, I did what you did this morning. Acts 20, 26 through 27. It says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am not innocent of the blood of all. 27, for I do not shrink from the proclamation to the whole counsel of God." You know, fellowship has never shrunk. As the New American Standard says, or the NIV says, does not hesitate. Or the KJV says, do not shun from the preaching of the gospel. Fellowship's always been known for expository preaching, preaching word for word for what the scripture says. Many other churches will circumvent, won't hit topics, will stay away from it because they're afraid to handle it. We are blessed with Pastor Stringer. I remember him doing the whole book of Proverbs. It took him a long time, but he did the whole book of Proverbs. I remember, I was actually a high school kid when he did that. I remember Pastor Dan doing a whole series on the books of the Bible. He was doing that as I was leaving. I'm not sure how long that had lasted, but the purpose behind that was to actually to equip us not just to know the Word, but have the Word come through us. And so the preaching, the expository preaching of God's Word was so important. The L. And I'm going to bypass some scripture. I'm looking at the time, but I want to be careful here. And I'm going to kind of summarize some of these stories. But the first L I came up with is life testimony. We see the example of Paul in his life, where we saw what he was before he was a Christian. He was a persecutor of Christians. He brought Christians to judgment for persecution. He was there for the stoning of Paul. And you look at people's testimonies, I can see people's testimonies. I've never seen anybody murder anybody here, but each one of us have a story in ourselves of where we're at, like Paul. What we were before Christ, our conversion from coming to know Christ. We see Paul when he was on the Damascus Road, where he saw a bright light that shone right around him, and the confrontation the Lord had with Saul at that point. And there's a time in our life where God confronted us through the word of where we're at, that we need Jesus as our personal Savior. The commitment of Paul after knowing Christ. So you see, before Christ, his conversion, after Christ. I bring that up because your life is a testimony. Each one of you have a testimony to share. I've seen so many testimonies at fellowship, at other churches I've been involved with. It is nothing more exciting to hear somebody's testimony and what God has done. My first years of ministry up in Palermo, it was exciting to see. I know Pastor Dan will agree with this, Chris will agree with this, anybody that's elders, anybody that's seen this happen, is see when somebody come to know Christ as the Savior. And I've seen that happen here. We have a family in our church that started attending probably about 7 or 8 years ago up in Palermo. And it's an interesting story how the impact happened and how the storyline starts. Their son attended a couple of youth group events. I really didn't know him too much. We had enough kids going to youth group at that point, and I knew he came a couple times. But I got a phone call from one of my youth leaders, and he was bowling with this young man and said he has issues at home. So I met him at the bowling alley, and I said his dad had been beating him up and had been drinking a lot of alcohol, and he was afraid to go home. Well, at that point, you know, I had to deal with the situation. And so I called the father up and said, you know what, can I meet with you tomorrow? You know, and my wife was a little nervous because I just got done saying this guy's an alcoholic, he beats his son up, and I'm going to try meeting with this guy. Well, I decided to meet with this guy, and His name is David Lubier. I think Giuliani, remember, you know David. And I met with this guy alone at a restaurant, and we talked. And I said, you know what, come Wednesday night, and we have prayer meeting. I want to talk with you afterwards, our pastor. And he and his wife came, and through conversations, he almost got up. I thought he was going to take a swing at the pastor. I really thought he was going to get up and leave the meeting. And then he sat back down, and then we said, come Sunday morning. And we happened to have Dublin Christian Academy there that Sunday. And they did some chorale concert, whatever it was. And by the following Wednesday, this man comes into our meeting, eyes lit up, smiling face. And we had given some scripture for the week before. I asked him, did you read the scripture? And, oh, yeah, it impacted my life. You know, I made a decision. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm thinking, what? You just did that all in 1 week? All this whole stuff happened and stuff? But that's example of I've seen of one person's life just in our community. And the crazy thing about it is my pastor and myself, Joyce and David, the husband and wife, and Juan, are the only ones that know what he really was like before he was a Christian. He's like a big teddy bear now. Everybody loves David and Joyce Lubier. But each one, I see stories here of those. I see Jeff and Paula DeRosa's often up in Maine. I saw Jeff get saved in this ministry. Life ministry. Your life is a ministry. It's a reflection of who you are, your life testimony. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to give you my second L. Very familiar verse. Some translation says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I'm using the ESV. It says, I appeal to you, brethren. Brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, fellowship didn't just have a lot of people with life testimonies. Some came out of this ministry with a calling to be full-time ministers, to be ambassadors of spreading the gospel in other areas. I mean, I think of my brother who's a missionary to Bangladesh. You've got Mark Albee. I'm not sure he's doing some type of mission work. You've got Christian school teachers. Corrine Chadakowski is here. Peter Castletto. A lot of people don't remember Peter Castletto. He was a young man that grew up in the church and in the school, had a passion of working with students, but also had a passion for reaching out to Hispanics. He had a passion of learning the Spanish language. He took 4 years of Spanish here at the Christian school. Every Friday night at Fellowship Youth Group was an outreach to the communities. He was one of the biggest helpers of communicating with these students because he knew Spanish. Well, that has continued on. He's out in Elkhart, Indiana, works at a Christian school, but he runs a Spanish ministry in his own church. And I had an opportunity about 12 years ago as we were coming out here to visit Fellowship and bring in some youth group students from Iowa out here to visit Fellowship and doing a missions trip. We stopped out at Elkhart, Indiana. We spent a whole afternoon with our youth group and these Spanish kids that he was ministering to. That wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Fellowship Youth Group. The Spanish ministry they had on Sunday mornings, reaching out to those that are lost. You know, Christian school teachers like Michael Sapienza, working at Bryan or Bryant University business office, pastors, David, my brother-in-law, serving the Lord in Pennsylvania, my brother Peter, who is down in South Carolina, Bob Emberly, Bill Krawczyk, Jared Headley, Chris Smith. You know, I'm forgetting somebody, but you get the idea. If it wasn't for fellowship and the preaching of the word of those that are in the ministry because we got a calling because of how God worked in our lives. The next one is O. I call this the old-time religion or the gospel. You've heard that as a song that's called, Now Give Me That Old-Time Religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It is good enough for me. It was good for my fathers, my mothers, makes love to everybody. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for Paul and Silas. It goes on and on. Fellowship has stuck right to the gospel. Hasn't made any bones about it. Hasn't made any additions or subtractions. Fellowship has never wavered from that truth of the gospel. You know, many other churches will do antics. Maybe recreate church. Make church look attractive. I'm not against making church look attractive, but if that's to circumvent around the Word of God, we're doing it for the wrong reason. And the most important thing, fellowship focused on God's Word. We've had some great preaching. That old-time religion, that old gospel. You know, I pulled up the church website, and I thought this is good for church history to understand where fellowship was. And I knew some of the storylines behind it, but I didn't understand all of it until I read the church history. And I'm going to read a couple paragraphs to help you understand where fellowship was. In order to maintain a more biblical doctrine position, a small group of people left a former denomination connection to begin Fellowship Bible Church on May 10th, 1964. It was a bright sunny day when 22 of us met for our first church service on a sun porch on Massachusetts Avenue in North Andover. We were full of enthusiasm for Christ, having left a fully, and this is important to realize, equipped church building. It's not about a church building. We now had only a small organ, some hymn books donated by Marsh Corner Church. We had nothing by the way of material goods. God was with us, and we began to undertake in this marvelous way. Goes on about more of the history and stuff. But the last paragraph I read in the second paragraph, it says, they worked hard, witnessed, and brought in their friends to hear the preaching of God's word. It also tells about the amount of souls that were saved. Church went from 20 to 70, and within 4 or 5 years, it was up to 100 people. The preaching of God's word, that old-time gospel. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to bring up my W. Actually, I can do it from memory, be easier that way. For by grace you saved through faith. And I think this is actually the verse that Evan Collier brought out last week. For by grace you saved through faith, it is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Lest you boast. I think I did the same thing he did, messed up. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You know, I look at this ministry. Some of you are probably involved with ministry itself. You know, it might not be full-time, but each one of us need to be involved with some aspect of the ministry. Get involved, serve the Lord. Workers for Christ. You know, and I know Dem and Jen, you'd hate this, but I have to bring this up. Where's the Gushoffs? There you are. He was my Sunday school teacher when I was a junior high student, and that was 35 years ago? I mean, 30 years ago, I guess it is. How long have you been a Sunday school teacher? Yeah, you wouldn't share that last week. And you know, I work with students. You want to talk about the crazy age to work with is junior high students, all right? They're fun. They make class creative. But these are memories I have of a Sunday school teacher that was dedicated to ministering to students. That left an impact in my life. Took me to Chuck E. Cheese. He asked me where I wanted to go. Do you remember that? Chuck E. Cheese. And I think John came with us, and my sister Heidi came. And you told me after Chuck E. Cheese, I can choose what else. We went to Benson's Ice Cream. You know, it wasn't about, you know, the classroom. Yes, we were taught, learned a lot of great things in Sunday school. But it was investing in lives, making the time to minister to kids that they had no idea the impact it made, and I know he did this with many other students. The next one I have is the S. And I really want to bring up two areas that fit this, because I felt they both have equal part, is small groups. And fellowship didn't really call them small groups. They called them Bible discussion groups. It actually says that right on the website. And then Fellowship Bible School. You know, if it wasn't for both of these ministries that they had, you know, I remember being involved with small group discussion groups. I remember doing college and career. What an opportunity to get to know people. You know, I know you still have small groups, Bible groups, whatever you call them. Get involved with a small group. I know that up in Palermo, I did a small group with some new believers, about three or four couples. And for schedule conflict, it could not work to go on more than 8 weeks that we did this. That was a lasting impression because you get to know people much closer. And that's what fellowship started. The roots as a church was a small group of people coming together to learn God's word. And they've continued that philosophy. They continued that heartbeat. And Fellowship Bible School, it's been in existence since 1979, came about. I think it started K-4 through 8th grade, and then every year after that, they added 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. You know, that is simultaneously work for those going in the ministry, because it wasn't just Sunday morning. It wasn't just Sunday night. It wasn't Wednesday night. It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We were hearing the word of God. We were being taught in chapel. We were being taught by Bible classes. We were being impacted by teachers that love the Lord. That is something I will remember about fellowship, the school and small groups. I said, really, this is not really a message. It's more reflection. The H I came up with is home church. You know, this might sound weird to you, but I still call this my home church. People in Palermo, I'll say, hey, I'm going down to visit my home church. What are you talking, home church? I says, well, I grew up here, so it's hard. I mean, I call it my home church. It's my roots. You know, you're born into a family. Your family still stays the same. I came to know Christ here at Fellowship. It was my heritage. This is where I got saved. Is where I started my growth as a Christian. I married my wife here, right in this building. You know, the saying, there's no place like home. You see that in Wizard of Oz. And the H stands for home church. You know, it's a great place to gather. Great place to fellowship with each other. Moving on to the I. And some of these were getting a little bit more difficult, but, you know, I thought about this. Is the integrity of people. You know, I look at it, I'm not going to pick names because that's not the purpose here. You know, the integrity of people, they always stay the same in the right state. They stand firm for what they believe. There are many people at this church that I know when I came in 80 and been here before that, 60s and 70s, through the whole process of this church. They haven't changed. They haven't wavered. You know, one of my favorite movies is the movie Hoosiers. My daughter's already rolling her eyes. I think I've seen that movie. How many times? 40, 50 times? I pick it every time. That's right. Yeah. I love that movie. And, you know, I go to the video board we have at the house, a little hutch there, and I say, we're going to watch a movie. And I start naming off movies. I purposely do it the ones. I don't want to see it sometimes, but I name off the ones I say every time. It drives them crazy. But this is one of my favorite. And, you know, the part where Gene Hackman is, and I'm not sure if you've seen this movie. I think a lot of you probably have seen it, but storyline of a basketball team that won a state championship. But that's not the main thing I want to bring out. But Gene Hackman is talking with the lady, the teacher there, and he makes a statement and talking with her, but she says something that really left an impression. I miss nothing more then people never change. It makes you feel really solid. You know, it never makes me feel just greater than knowing people don't change. I think back when people are, where you're sitting in the pews, you stayed the same since I left 13 years ago. the only thing I'm really confused is Scott always sits back there. I can't find him. Where is he? So, and I knew my family sat right over here in the first two rows. I mean, we took up two rows because my parents adopted so many of us and we had so many of us that were in the family. But people never change. The integrity of people, it's so important because, you know, they stand for what is right and they've stayed the same. And my last point here, and I'm going to close, is people. You know, I started off in Ephesians talking about how we are built together for one cause, and that is to spread the gospel. We're here equipped, and Fellowship's done a great job of equipping us. Two things that will last, I heard growing up, God's word will always last. Number two is people's souls. You know, and those have been the two biggest thrusts that fellowship's had is the word of God, making no bones about it, straight to the word. But second, to let others know through your life and through the life of those that have left and they're on moving on for Christ and seeing souls come to Christ. Fellowship's been true to these, the word of God, people's souls. My challenge is still stay true to God's word. And secondly, keep on winning souls for Christ. Make an impact for him, like fellowship made an impact on me. Let's pray. Father, we do praise and thank you for fellowship and the impact it's had on my life, others' lives, and also on the lives that are here. We just pray that this church will stay committed to the word of God, which I'm sure they will, and also stay committed to reaching souls for Christ. We just pray these things in your son's name. Amen.